Bible, please turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and read this passage. But before we do, Colossians chapter number 3, our title today is New Year, New You. Now, let me just say real quick, I 100% will admit that that title is not new to me. I have laryngitis, and I went to the urgent care over there in Beaver Creek, and went over to the urgent care there, and as I was going to the urgent care, kind of was thinking about what passage I was going to go through for this passage, and I saw in the window, New Year, New You, and I thought, man, that's a great title, and I was curious about what it was going to be about, and apparently they were selling makeup, and so I bought some, and it's a new me today. No. But nonetheless, let's all stand if we can. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I found it interesting. I'm all for makeup. I'm fine with Becky wearing makeup, but makeup does not make a new you, okay? And so in Colossians 3, though, we will see a new you, the new man. Colossians 3, now let's jump in verse number 1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence," it's a fancy word, means lust, "and covetousness," which is idolatry. "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we jump in. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We are so thankful for your word. We're thankful that we can look at it and study it this morning. Give us hearts to understand and hearts to obey, we pray. Today, as we examine your word, Lord, help us to be the transformed being that you have called us to be today. Lord, I pray for any that perhaps have still been living in that which they have been saved from. Lord, today may they find freedom and forgiveness in your arms. Lord, help us today to be changed, to be a new us in this new year. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you, Nate. Be seated. Few simple ideas I see from this passage. First, though, let's jump into context, as we haven't really been going through the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, up to this point, has been focusing on what we have in Christ. That is, that we are different than what we were. We are saved. We are delivered. We are risen with Christ, as you see in verse number 1. And because of that, he's going into a practical application about what our new selves should look like, how we should act, who we should be, what we should do. In this passage, you see a distinct difference between the old man, as you see in verse number 9, and the new man that we are to put on in verses 10 through 17. There's a difference between what we were and what we are. New Year's, there are certainly times where we can look back and remember some of the good and perhaps some of the bad. You look back and you realize how much, how perhaps you've struggled and perhaps you haven't done what you should. Maybe you've done certain behavior, or maybe you haven't done certain behavior. And we can look back and perhaps set resolutions that hopefully last for longer than 3 months. And we can do some of these things to look forward to the upcoming year. So it's only appropriate for us to consider what we should be as God's children for this upcoming year. Three simple ideas I see in this passage. First off, I see a new realization in verses 1 through 4. Then number 2, I see a new removal that we should have in verses 5 through 9. And finally, a new renewal in verses 10 through 17. First off, a new realization. In verses 1 through 4, he gives a realization of our foundation as his children. Look at it in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He's saying, hey, if you're really a child of God, if you really are risen with Christ, by the way, can I say, if you're a child of God, you are risen with Christ, right? We are crucified with Christ, God's word says, and we are risen with Christ. He was our substitute. He took our place. He died for us, and he rose for us. Our old man is dead, our new man is alive through Christ. And so he's saying, if that's the case in your life, then you should have a different foundation. We should have a new life, and we should lay aside our old life. In verse number 1, he says, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, Jesus is not on this earth. He is not enamored with the things of this earth. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He is there in the presence of God. Jesus is enjoying his new life. And if that is the case with Christ, and if we are truly in Christ, as God's word says that we are, then we should be living for that which is to come, not what that which is here on this earth. Can I tell you, folks, it's very easy for us to focus on that which is on this earth, is it not? We focus on our jobs. We focus on our careers. We focus on the economy that the mayor totally ruined. We focus on these different things. Just kidding, Mayor Jack. I love you, brother. You know, I didn't vote for you, but I'm just kidding. No, I'm just trying. Whenever he gets here, I lose my filter, okay? So, I love you, man. We focus on these things, but can I say, our foundation is not this earth, our foundation is heaven. You with me, friends? If you're a child of God, your foundation should not be your 401k. Your foundation should not be your job. Your foundation should not be your house. Your foundation should not be how nice your vehicle is. Your foundation is heaven. Live for that life which is eternal. You're with me, folks? If you're not living for that, then can I say everything I say after this will not make a lot of sense. Because if you don't have that foundation, then everything that I say later about certain things we need to put off and certain things we need to put on won't make a lot of sense, because the foundation is and always has been what we are. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land, friends. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Number one, a new realization. Number one, of our foundation. Number two, a new realization of our focus. You see in verse number 1, when I stop, you read the next word. If ye then be risen with Christ, say the next word. Eek! Good, thank you, two people. I appreciate that. And next, verse number two. Can we say the first three words of verse number two? Set your affection. Good, about five people. Praise the Lord. I'm getting more as I go. Praise the Lord for that. Can I say, folks, both of these are pointing to a focus, are they not? Seek. Set your affection on. You may know this, but I'm a little bit absent-minded sometimes. I have my wallet in my pocket specifically because I knew I was going to use this as an illustration. Oftentimes I lay my wallet down, and oftentimes I am searching desperately for my wallet. It's a good thing I never have money in it, so, you know, all that. Actually, I do have money in it. Well, I better not lose it. But can I say, that's the picture here, is it not? Seek. Seek. Seek what? Seek what's above. What's he talking about? He's talking about a deliberate search, a deliberate decision in your mind to go after that which is eternal. Can I tell you, friend, if you don't make it a deliberate choice, you won't go after that which is eternal. We have too many things that pull us away from that which is eternal in our lives. Do we not?
Yes.
Too many cares. Too many worries. Too many fears. Too many hurts. Too many just busyness that pull us away from that which is eternal. Can I tell you, friend, you got to make it deliberate. Maybe this year, 2023, you say, you know what? I'm going to deliberately seek after that which is above. After that which matters. What does that look like? That looks like you being in the Word of God. That looks like you being in the house of God. You all with me, friends? That looks like you serving God. Using your time and your treasures and your talents for the Lord. That's what it looks like. Hey, deliberately seek those things which are above. Number two, it says set your affection on things above. Seeking and setting your affection are two different things. Would you not agree? When you're talking about seeking, you're talking about, okay, I'm looking, I'm deliberately searching. But when you're considering setting your affection, it's a desire. You're setting your desire on something that's eternal. Obviously, you might seek something with a desire, you might seek something without a desire. But can I say, friends, our seeking after God is not meant to be some monastic type thing. Our seeking after God is not meant to be, oh, I am so holy and so I will seek after God. Right? No. Love God. Care for God. Have a desire for God. Set your affection on that which is above, not on that which is on this earth. A new realization. Can I say every one of us Christians should have a new realization of our foundation? Hey, we're risen with Christ. We don't have to be what we used to be. Number two, of our focus. Hey, seek Him. Set your affection on Him. Number three, I see in this passage a new realization of our future. Look at verse number three. For ye are what? Dead. You say, well, that's encouraging. Praise the Lord for that. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. See, our realization is not just our foundation, that we have a new position in Christ. And by the way, we do have a new position in Christ, right? Our realization is not just a new focus, that He should be the focus of our life. And that should be. But our realization is that our future is not tied to this place, it's tied to that one. Am I making sense? One day, whatever I accumulate on this earth will be burnt up and gone. You all with me, friends? I've used the illustration before, but I'm going to say it again. There was a lady, and her husband passed away, and her husband was a multimillionaire. And this millionaire had in his will that he said, I'm a self-made man, and so all my money, I want to be buried with me. Right? So the man was going to be buried there. The casket was there. And some friends came up to the lady and said, well, man, are you actually going through with Whipple? She said, yes, I did. She said, I wrote him a check. And so the reality is, folks, The reality is, we can't take it with us. Y'all with me, friends? We cannot take it with us. So, but why do we so oftentimes live for this? Why do we so oftentimes have our hearts based on this world? Why do we so oftentimes give all of our effort and all of our time and all of our trials and all of our consideration to that which is temporary? One day, friend, I'm going to be with Jesus, and all I'll have to show for it is what I did for Him here. That's it. That's it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. It's a real thing. It's a done thing, friends. So realize that and live that way now. What we're talking about? We're talking about a new year, a new you. Can I tell you, friends, if you just stopped right there, don't stop right there, okay? Don't tone me out. I still got more to preach on, okay? But if you stopped right there, that would change a lot of us, would it not? A new realization, but number two, he continues, a new removal. A new removal. Look at verse number 5. He's continuing the thought from verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Verse number 5. Mortify therefore. Put to death. That's what mortify means. Put to death. Okay? Execute. We have the mayor here. He doesn't execute things, but, you know, let's just say he did. Okay? Let's say Mayor Jacques had the permission to execute people. That would be tough, Mayor Jacques. You would probably not like that job. It would be a difficult job. But that's the illustration that's being given. Mortify. Put to death. There's some things in our life that we have to put to death. Would you not agree? Some things in our life that shouldn't even exist. Three categories that we can see in this passage that we should mortify, put to death. Number one, sexual sin. We should mortify in our lives. Can I say it's a shame that Christians oftentimes are struggling with sexual sin? I read a statistic recently that said that over 60% of pastors actively view pornography. Sexual sin needs to be put to death in our lives. You all with me, friends? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He goes through a list here in verse number 5. Fornication. Fornication is the Greek word that we get pornography from. Pornia. It's a general word for sexual sin. Basically, any kind of sexual sin would be involved in it. Fornication. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is another level of that kind of sexual sin, specifically in the mind. That which is not just done on the external, but that which is internal. Inordinate affection is that which is inappropriate. Okay, that which is sinful on a deviant level. Okay, different types of sexual sin related to that type. Can I say, friends, if you're struggling with sexual sin, you have to put that to death in your life. God saved you from that. God called you out of that. And you have to put it to death in your life. Number one, mortify sexual sin. Number two, mortify sensual sins. Now, when I say sensual sins, I'm not speaking, of course, of the sexual, or else I'd be talking about the same thing. I'm talking, of course, about that which applies to the senses. In verse number 5, he continues, evil concupiscence. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? That'll make you feel, that'll make you seem like you're, I don't know, well-educated. That word concupiscence just means lust that's overflowing is literally what it means. It's any kind of lust, any kind of desire that's just overflowing. Certainly that could be sexual, but that could be really anything, could it not? Any kind of desire that's overflowing. Some people have a desire for food that's overflowing. Joshua, thank you for that amen. You need to teach that boy when to say amen. Josh is a teenager. He has a desire for food that's overflowing. Okay? Some people have a desire for food that's overflowing. Some people have desires that are the opposite. Right? We've been praying for Sarah for some time. She's having desires to not eat food. Some people have desires that are overflowing in other ways. Perhaps you have a desire for more wealth, for more prosperity. You have a desire for more work. You have a desire for more relaxation. You have a desire for more entertainment. Can I say any of it? If you are giving in to yourself, you're giving in to your senses, can I tell you, you got to put that to death. Because if you're giving in to those things, you cannot be serving God. Put it to death. Sexual sin. Central sin. Number three, I see in this passage. Susceptible sin. Look at it if you can. Verse number 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. By the way, can I just say, in those sensual sins, covetousness is one of them. And by the way, if there was ever a sin that categorized the United States, covetousness would be it, would it not? The American dream is all about covetousness. I'm all for a car. I'm all for kids. I'm all for a dog. I got one. Okay? Sometimes I'm all for my dog. It depends on the day. Okay? But can I tell you, friends, that doesn't satisfy. Jesus satisfies. But finally, I see here things to kill. Susceptible sins. Verse 6, for which in sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, in the which he also walked sometime when he lived in them. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, there are some sins that you were involved in, and they just hang on to you. Do they not? There's some sins that even though I was saved at the age of 13, even though I've been saved now for some time, I was talking to Jed earlier, and I told Jed that I was 38, and Jed was like, whoa. Dude, man, give me a break, bro. He's turning 20 next week, so. Give me a break, man. I'm not old. But even though Jed thinks I'm old, I've been saved for some time. Can I tell you, folks, I still struggle with certain things. Do we not? We just hold on. There are certain things we have to kill. But number two, there are certain things that we need to cast aside. I'm going to use an illustration if I can. I can use the illustration of a jacket. This is a very nice jacket, is it not? No, it's not. This is a jacket that I owned back when Becky and I were dating. How many of you are hoarders? Be honest. You're hoarders? Good, thank you. Wow, we got a lot of hoarders. We need a hoarders group in this church. I tend to be a bit of a hoarder, okay? This was the jacket that I wore when we first got married. Okay. Yeah. You say, Pastor, why on earth do you still own this? I already said I'm a hoarder. Doesn't this fit well? Doesn't this look nice? I've always wanted to do like the Hulk thing and just rock. Oh, I almost did it! I almost did it! Dude, that was cool! Man, I feel strong now. I feel like Mayor Jacques. My wife has been wanting me to clean out my closet for some time. I have a million jackets that I've had for some time. I have this one. You can see it's all wrinkled. It was sitting in the back. It has that smell. You know what I mean? You know, it's like there was a point where I just like was like, okay, I'll wear this again. And then I put it in the back and I forgot about it. You know what I mean? It has certain stains on it. It says this one. I don't know how well you can see it. There's a lasagna stain on it somewhere. Right here from college. I spilled lasagna on it. I tried to get it out because it was the only jacket I had in college. Okay? It's rough. Okay? Becky's been begging me to get rid of this stuff for a long time. But I hold on to it. Because for some weird reason in the back of my head, I believe that at some point I will once again be a 40 regular or 38 regular. Those days are long past. I believe that somehow I will get back to the 160 pounds that I weighed when I wore this jacket. Even though now I weigh 200. And somehow I'll just go back and I'll fit this jacket again. You know, because it looks so good, right? Maybe the style will come back. The 800 buttons. Right? No. And get the dumb thing off. No. Why do I keep it? I don't know why. No reason to keep it. It's kind of junky. It's junky to begin with. Got it for probably like $30 from a thrift store. I got it in college. Wasn't that expensive to begin with? There's no reason to keep it. I have my new gray one. And I wear that all the time. You all know how much I love my gray suit. So why keep it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Here's what he's saying here in this passage. Hey, there's some things that we just have to put off. They're not part of us anymore. Does that make sense? Get rid of them. Cast them aside. Lay them off. Get rid of these things, is what he's saying. Look at it. Look again. Look at it. Verse number 8. But now you put off all these. Now, these are things that we may not kill. Why? Because they tend to jump back on us. Does that make sense? These are sins that just grab back on. Okay, for example here, he lists some spontaneous sins. Anger, wrath, and malice. Can I tell you, friend, you can try all you want to kill anger, wrath, and malice, but anger, wrath, and malice will just jump in. Do they not? You go to work, okay, and you have that one coworker, right? It just drives you crazy. How many of you got that person? Yeah. You go to church, you got that one person. He's your pastor, I know. Okay, you have that one person that just kind of drives you crazy. They say something, and at the end thing you say something, they're just kind of like, dude, you guys are leaving me alone? Right? You like that? As much as you want to kill that, what do you have to do? Not kill that person, okay? There's a difference. Kill that attitude, okay? As much as you want to kill that attitude, can I tell you, friends, what do you have to do? You have to constantly cast it aside. Cast it aside. Spontaneous sins. Number 2, I see spoken sins. God's word is very clear that we will and we do struggle sometimes with what we say. When he's talking about blasphemy here, he's not talking necessarily about speaking against God. He's just talking about speaking inappropriate words, okay? There are two different words for blasphemy that's used in the Old and the New Testament. That's the one that he's using here. Filthy communication out of your mouth, that's just something that's inappropriate. What you say that's inappropriate. Maybe an inappropriate joke or an inappropriate innuendo or something. Verse number 9, he talks about lying. These are things that we just do. And if we're not careful, we will go and we'll take the old nastiness from our old life and we'll try and put it on and it just doesn't fit and it doesn't work and it's just not right. And God's given us something far better, like we'll look at in just a second. But yet we keep trying to fit into it thinking that, well, maybe I can have it both ways. No, you can't have it both ways. Get rid of it. You all with me, friends? Get rid of it. If you want to be the person God's called you to be, number 1, hey, you have to realize some things. Like we talked about. Number 2, you have to remove some things. Number 3, if we can. Number 3, you have to have a new renewal. Verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who's the one that created him? God. Okay? So what's he saying here? A new renewal. First off, a renewed mind. You're renewed in knowledge. What are we talking about here? We're talking, number 1, about a knowledge about Jesus. Can I say nice and simply, how do you do all this? You say, preacher, okay, you talked about a lot of different stuff, but I mean, how does this happen? Here's how this happens. You build the right foundation. And what's the foundation? Jesus. What he's done for you. If you're a child of God, you are a new creature. You build that foundation. And then you look and you say, hey, there's some things that just don't match up with Jesus. You with me, friends? Are there certain behaviors in your life that don't match up with Jesus? Yes, there are. Right? Because I know some of you people. There's some behaviors that don't match up with Jesus. Those things need to be removed. I need to know more about Jesus. I need to seek Him. I need to know Him. Knowledge about Jesus. Number 2, knowledge about others. Verse number 11. were renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse number 11, he jumps into kind of a weird parenthetical here. Look at verse number 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. You say, what on earth is he saying here, preacher? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, we need to have a changed mind, first off, about Jesus, but number two, about others. Because the reality is, no matter who the person is, no matter what they look like, no matter how they act, no matter what race or creed, no matter what background they are, no matter what social status they are people that God loves.
Amen.
You know what, friends? So change your mind about it. Change your mind. That person at the office that drives you crazy, that you wish you could kill, okay? I'm just kidding. Okay. Using the little poison before. That person that just drives you nuts at the office, they're a person that God loved and died for. Can I tell you, that'll change how you act with that person in that office. Will it not? It'll change it. Change your mind about others. Christ, here's what he's saying. Christ is all and in all. Can I say it this way? Here's what he's saying. No matter who the person is, Christ wants to work in that person. Christ loved that person. If he's a child of God, then we are brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of their background, regardless of who they are. So we need to change our mind about that person. Because if Christ loved them, then I can love them. Number one, a renewed mind. Number two, I see in this passage quickly. Number two, a renewed response. A renewed response. He just talked about all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. But look if we can in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, or that word has the idea of putting up with one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. What's he saying? He's saying, number one, love like Jesus. Number two, forgive like Jesus. Can I tell you, folks? Jesus loved everybody. Jesus loved his enemies, did he not? Jesus forgave his enemies, did he not? Remember, if you will, Jesus on the cross. He's been whipped. He's been scourged. The torment that Jesus went through. The tragedy of what he's going through. The Son of God being whipped and beaten as they take the nails and they drive them through the palms of his hands. What is he saying? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very ones that are crushing and destroying and killing the Son of God, he wanted forgiveness for them. Can I tell you, friends, if Jesus could forgive that way, then why can we not forgive? You with me, friends?
Amen.
I've been in ministry long enough that I have seen one of the greatest things that church members struggle with is forgiveness. And in a church like ours, that's been around for 117 years going on, can I say there's a lot of history? If we are not careful, we will hold bitterness and hurt in our hearts. We will hold it there. And we will act and we'll pretend like we are all new people, like God's working in us and we love the Lord. And deep in our hearts, we are nothing like Jesus because we won't forgive. There are certain people, perhaps even in this church, that you will not talk to. You won't go to, you won't interact with, you won't talk to them. You, when handshaking time comes, you make sure that you avoid that person. Can I tell you, friend, that ought never be.
Amen.
Ought never be. We need to respond like Jesus. He loved us while we were sinners. He forgave us despite the thousands of things we did against Him. If He can do that, then we can forgive.
Yes.
have a renewed mind, have a renewed response. Number three, my time is failing, have a renewed trust. Verse 15 through 17, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body. Be thankful. Can I tell you, folks, let God's will rule in your life. I don't know what 2023 will hold. The last few years have been nuts. You with me? Pastor friend posted something the other day on the ministry group. And he said, pastoring this year has been kind of like riding a bike. Except the bike's on fire. And the road's on fire. And everything's on fire. That's what he posted. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know what 2023 will be. I don't know. Is COVID going to be a bigger thing? Is the economy going to be more of a mess? Are we going to have all these different issues and all these different things? I have no idea. But what I do know is the peace of God can rule in my heart and in your heart regardless of it. Because it's God's will. You with me, friends? If God, let come what comes. I'm trusting Him. And this ain't my home anyway. You with me, folks? So it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I would love to have some money when I retire. Okay? That'd be great. But who cares? I'm trusting. My retirement's up in heaven. You with me, friends? Let God's will rule. Number two, let God's word rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he talks about singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. He talks about whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you, friends, in our lives, can I just boil it down? Because I've said a lot tonight, today, and I'm out of time. Can I just boil it down this way? How do you get to be a new you in this new year? Here's how you do it. You stop living like the old you and you start living like Jesus. That's how you get to be the new you. Can I ask you, friend, does your life look like Jesus? Real quickly, I was talking to somebody on Facebook yesterday. It was actually a relative of Lewis, Kyle. I was talking to him on Facebook, and Kyle had posted how how he's just kind of struggled with some churches and how some churches act and different things like that. Well, a friend had posted, a friend of Kyle's, I had never met this person before, a friend posted, and she said, yeah, churches can just be blah, 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 just kind of trashing on churches and things. And I responded, I said, well, kind of just responded, just talking about how, we should love each other and how churches sometimes are not what they need to be. And over the course of conversation, I'm going and talking about these things, and she's talking about some of the hurts that she had experienced in her life and some of these things. We're going through kind of through this Facebook feed. And as we're going through this, I was just telling her, hey, frankly, if we all were more like Jesus, then the world would be a better place. This lady got saved years ago, hasn't been in church because some people were, frankly, jerks to her and given up on church, given up on pretty much anything related to the Lord. And as we're talking, Kyle actually spoke up. Did you see this? Did you see the feed? Yeah, it's funny. Kyle actually spoke up. Kyle got saved in our church a couple years ago. And Kyle spoke up and he's like, actually, yeah, I wasn't talking about Pleasant Plains. That's one of the few churches that have actually loved us and cared about us. And, Pastor John's amazing. And she's like, wait, he's a pastor? and I was like, yeah, oops, sorry. But can I say, friends, can I boil it down to this? What this world means is it needs some Christians that are like, and yesterday, as I was looking through the comments and kind of replying, as I was finishing up here today for the sermon, I was, again, challenged. Do I look like Jesus? Do I act like Jesus? You might have a lot of different resolutions for this year. A lot of different plans, a lot of different things. You want to get healthy, you want to do this, do that, you want to do all these different behaviors, and that's all fine and all good, but can I say the one and the only resolution that should be at the top of our list is to look and to act like Jesus. Because if we're that, and God will use our church, God will use you, you will be a new person at the end of this year. That's what matters. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Very simple question for you today. Okay? This was not a salvation message in any way. Okay? It was not the focus of this message. This message was meant for Christians. So I'm going to ask you, as Christians, does your life look like Jesus? Think about it before you say it, because it is the epitome of blasphemy for us to go and say, yes, my life looks like Jesus, when my life does not look like Jesus. You all with me, friends? So consider, before you answer the question, before you lie before Almighty God, does your life look like Jesus? Do you love people like Jesus did? Do you forgive people like Jesus did? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Do you care for people like Jesus did? Are you laying aside some sins so you can serve Him? Are you seeking that which is eternal, not that which is temporary? Does your life look like Jesus, friend? You say, Pastor, in my life, be honest. Because I'm going to be honest. My life doesn't always look like Jesus. And this year, I need to make it a priority. I need to make it a necessity in my life to look like Jesus. To love people. To care for people. To forgive people. To seek Him and what matters. My life needs to look like Jesus. Pastor, I want you to pray for me that it does this year. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to the Lord? My life needs to look like Jesus. My life needs to look like Jesus. Good, thank you. You can put your hands down. Here's what I want us to do, friends. I don't do this a lot, okay? And Becky's down in nursery and, you know, all that stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something very, very different, okay? For the invitation today, here's what we're going to do. We're not even going to have a piano. We're not going to do any of that stuff. Okay? Here's what I want us to do. If we say, hey, I want my life to look like Jesus, then I want you, in just a moment, to come up here and to pray. Gather on the front row, wherever you are. You can kneel, wherever you are. Just go and say, Lord, I'm going to take it a step further. Now, could you pray in your seat? Yes. And there is nothing magical about you coming forward. Can I say, if you're going to do the resolution, sometimes you have to take the step to do it. So here's what we're going to do. In the quietness of this time, okay, no piano, no distractions. In the quietness of this time, we're not even going to have you stand, okay? If you want to come out, you can come out. You can, you know, reach over everybody. In the quietness of this time, will you go? And will we just go to the Lord and say, Lord, we want our lives to look like Jesus. Right now, would you come? Right now. Come, pray, seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I want my life to look like Jesus this year. This is what I've struggled with. This is what I've done. This is what I need to cast aside. This is what I need to kill in my life. This is what I need to seek after. I want my life to look like Jesus. And right now, I'm making it public. I'm admitting to it. Right now, seek God. In just a moment, I'll close.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are coming before you with humble hearts, seeking your face, Lord, admitting that, Lord, in our lives, in some way, our life has not been like what you called it to be. Lord, in some way, we have fallen short of our name, Christian. In some way, we have gotten distracted by this world and by the allure. We have not lived like you. We have lived like the world that you called us from. And God, in some way, right now, we are pouring our heart out to you, admitting, Lord, that we need your help. That we need your strength. That this world needs some Christians that will stand up and will say, hey, I just want to be like Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to show love like you did. Mercy, forgiveness, compassion. Help us to care for people that may be different than us, Lord, because you love them so we can love them. God, I pray that you would help us to cast out the sins that so easily beset us, the ones that cling to us, the ones that we must cast aside and the ones that we must destroy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you preeminently in our lives. Lord, help us as a horse with blinders to focus on you and you alone. Help you to be our affection in our hearts in this year. Lord, in many ways we fail you regularly, and Lord, we know that in no way will we accomplish all which we desire today. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit would correct when we fail. That, Lord, you would challenge us. Lord, that you would motivate us in this coming year to be like Jesus. Lord, strengthen us. Help us in these things, we pray. Our city, our world needs some Christians that look like you. So Lord, help us to love the world to you. Give us grace. Give us strength. Lord, we can't accomplish it without you and without your power. So Lord, we admit that and we ask for it today. Work in a mighty way. And Father, I pray that this would not just be a resolution that we make and break, that this would not just be something that we're stirred about today and we forget about tomorrow, but God, help it to be something that we prioritize, that we make practical, that we fulfill in a real and tangible way in the coming days. Lord, strengthen us in these things, we pray, and we will give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Let's do this if we can. If everyone heads back to their seats, let's sing just the chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus. We don't even need a piano. We all know it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Listen, if you can sing it from your heart, sing it from your heart to the Lord, a cappella. I have decided to follow Jesus. Afterwards, we'll be dismissed. Make a plan to be back tonight. Let's pray. Sing rather. I have decided. Here we go. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. God bless y'all. You're dismissed. We'll see you tonight at 6. Yes, God has been.